Hey guys, this is Andrea.
And Emily.
We're no longer recording new episodes of Hot Mess. Very sad. But we do have 8 years worth of episodes available for your listening pleasure.
You can access the entire back catalog at patreon.com/hotmess. That's patreon.com/hotmess.
Hello. You're about to hear us sing some falsetto. Ready to hear my voice go mad high and break a lot? Is that what you want? Is that what you're gonna get? I know you don't get a chance to take a break this often. I know your life is speeding and it isn't stopping. Here, take my shirt and just go ahead and wipe up all the sweat, sweat, sweat. Lose yourself to dance. Lose yourself to dance. Lose yourself to dance. Yo, lose yourself to dance. Lose yourself to dance. Lose yourself to dance. Lose yourself to dance.
Lose yourself to what?
Lose yourself to dance.
Hello.
Hello.
Army of cunts.
That karaoke song was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
That was in the style of Daft Punk, Lose Yourself to Dance, as performed by Andrea Allen. That was a lovely falsetto you got there.
Dude, I think I can sing, but I cannot. I know. Every time I'm like, it's going to come out sounding so good. And it's always like, hello.
Well, if you turn it loud enough, you sound great.
Thank you so much. Joining us today, who got to witness that amazing performance.
Oh, Gladys. By the way, I'm Emily.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, the wheels are coming off,
in
baby.
In case this is your first time tuning in.
It's Andrea. It's Emily. Andrea can't sing. Emily's a medium. And we have Gladys joining us today. How's it going?
Oh, it's tremendous.
Gladys is visiting New York from Vermont. And I met Gladys when I was on tour in Vermont, and she was one of the best comedians I saw out there, and certainly one of the most memorable people that I met out there, slash in life in a while.
Yowza.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. We just met, but I can already kind of tell why.
Fuck yeah.
Also, first guest to bring an animal.
Ugh. I know.
I take her with me everywhere.
Yes, Gladys has an adorable dog. The thing is, I forget how happy animals make me. When one comes into my periphery, it's just like a 15% dopamine bump.
I know. Animals really are the best therapy. And speaking of that, I want to talk to you about our new sponsor.
Fuck yeah.
People, it's 2019.
2019.
You know you got to get your shit right.
Get your shit right, people.
You listen to us every week. We're getting our shit right.
We are.
What, you think you're better?
Oh, you think you're more emotionally involved than we are?
You think you're like above fixing yourself?
Doubt
and talking
it.
Out your issues?
I don't doubt it.
Think so. Okay.
We nag you into getting mental health help. That's
but
what
listen,
we do here.
The thing is, I get it. Yeah. Maybe you don't have a lot of time.
Yep.
Maybe you work a 9-to-5 and by the time you get out, you want to sit back and relax with a strawberry lemonade and watch Bachelor in Paradise. And you don't want to have to
talk about your dad.
Okay. But guess what?
You have to talk about your dad.
And there is a new, more convenient way to talk about your dad without having to go to a fucking office and have to sit in a cold room while you watch everybody awkwardly stare at each other like they don't know why they're fucking there.
Yeah. The waiting room is very weird.
The service is called BetterHelp.
Perfect. Is there something that interferes with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. It offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family, family, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, and more. There's so much that they are able to cover. They can talk about specific things with you. There's like a huge breadth of things that they, this service can do.
And what are we talking about? We're talking about 4,000 plus U.S. licensed therapists. That's all amazing. Across 50 states, available worldwide. Okay. Start communicating in under 24 hours. So it's really quite immediate. It can be hard to get an appointment. As I well know, it took me 2 months to get a regular therapy appointment.
Yeah.
Where I currently do. And this way you can get it immediately, which is awesome. You can also use 4 communication modes: text, chat, phone, and video.
That's really cool. I also like, it's easy to change counselors if you want. So like therapists, just like anything else, like not everyone is a good fit, and it's nice that you have the freedom to, you know, decide who is the best for you.
Totally.
It's a very, very convenient service.
And you feel less bad about it because you can't see them.
You don't have to break up with them.
Exactly. You don't have to look them in the eye and say, we shouldn't see each other anymore.
Just like a cold hearted bitch. You just do it over the app.
You just send a text.
Bye,
bitch.
Do not say bye, bitch, to the counselors.
I wouldn't recommend BetterHelp. I wouldn't recommend
it. But spiritually, you can, yes.
If you've been wanting to talk, you can get started right now. Go to BetterHelp.com/hotmess. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's BetterHelp.com/hotmess.
Yes, and our listeners get 10% off the first month with the discount code hot mess. So that's a huge, that's already like a financial, just give it a try. You know, you could do the first month, get it for the reduced price, see if it works for you. If it doesn't, call me a fucking liar. Send me an email and call me a fucking liar, but you won't, because it's fucking therapy. It's great.
It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think is going to happen? You think that you're going to start doing it and then
fuck
you're
you.
Going to lose a leg or something?
Is this what they wanted from their ad reads? Me just saying, fuck you.
Hey, it's a bonus.
Fuck you. Get therapy. Seriously, though, I've been doing therapy for about 6 months now and it's been, you know, it's been very helpful for me, even in just dealing with the things that, like my anxieties that I deal with day to day, just like coping mechanisms to better deal with them instead of letting my throat close up and, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Cleaning till 4 a.m.
I mean, what a coincidence, right? What a coincidence that when you talk to somebody and they've been going to therapy for a while,
also,
they never say, ever since I started going to therapy, my life's fallen apart.
Also,
that's never what they say.
Stop bothering your fucking friends. Your friends are not your therapist.
They don't want to listen to you talk about your breakup that happened 2 years ago, okay?
Wow, that felt personal.
They're done.
Yeah, they've hit their capacity.
There's a 4-month mourning period and then you're cut off.
Get a therapist.
Get a fucking therapist.
You whiny bitch.
That's betterhelp.com/hotmess. Over and out.
Hell yeah. So Emily actually confessed something. We've been doing some little confessionals to one another. And
I was scared to tell you this because this was the one thing that I had in my life that was just for me.
Really?
But you know what? I suffer from my art. So
I have everything of yours now. I don't think you have one secret for me.
You know what? I actually do. I was thinking about it because I know that you have one secret that still you refuse to tell me. I'm going to get it out of you eventually.
You never will.
Why?
It's fucked up. It's like really fucked up.
It's something that you did when you were younger.
No, it's something that I like do.
Oh, my God. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an isolated incident.
It's not an isolated incident.
It's like a habit.
I can't confirm or deny that because it'll reveal more about it. But
all right. We're going to table that for later.
Sure.
I also have a secret that I am not going to tell you. But
good.
I have told you. OK. Uh-huh. That have you. Gladys, are you familiar with Marie Kondo?
Sure.
So I had never known very much about her. I heard about her book when it came out because people were, you know, it was the latest craze.
Yeah.
In home organizing.
It's just the most recent Netflix binge thing, too.
So she has a brand new show on Netflix. It's called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a home makeover show, but she doesn't actually do anything. She just coaches people. Basically, she takes people on as her clients and she teaches her method, which is
throw everything away.
Yeah. She is obsessed with throwing things away.
Mm-hmm.
And she only advises you to keep things that spark joy in your life.
Okay.
And there are like different categories, like clothes, kitchen, like she divides. It's
I mean, I'm sure from her perspective, people are obsessed with having too much stuff. Right.
And I think she's right.
Well, sure. Well, I think it's genius because
it's genius.
Yeah. Like, because you, another part of it that's really major is that you, when you get rid of something, you thank the item for its service, which sounds very, you know, woo woo or whatever, but I think it's genius because
does it give like hoardery people permission to let go of things, do you think?
I think it acknowledges the fact that people have an emotional connection to their possessions. I mean,
We're supposed to thank veterans, and this shirt did more for me than like most of people in the armed forces.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Exactly. I think like, you know, people, there's a reason why we have an emotional, that items carry an emotional weight.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not denying that.
So I think it's just,
I'm not shitting on Marie Kondo. I'm fully never into
it's,
it.
It's the translator I would find disconcerting.
Yeah,
if someone showed up in my house and they had another human being literally like a foot in front of them that was then saying the same stuff.
Well, I didn't realize she doesn't speak a word of English. Mm-hmm.
But like, doesn't she? Sorry.
That's an interesting take on it.
Interesting. She's choosing not to speak English to keep that edgy, like Japanese translator.
I'd love to never talk to anyone again. That'd be dope.
There is something. That's a good point. There's something about her that's a little edgy.
Yeah.
There's something about her that's like, I think she would be the scariest mother. Like, they show footage of her 3-year-old child folding her shirts into thirds. Like, could you imagine you leave a mess out? Like, you let your room get kind of messy and Marie Kondo comes in and makes you fold all your clothes into origami swans.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm an obsessive compulsive person, so I understand this, but.
Well, I thought you were going to say sex freak because she seems like that buttoned up, maybe sploshing.
What's
sploshing?
It's one of the oldest and most established fetishes where you just like get a chick on a tarp and throw a bunch of spaghetti on her or just, you know, like lots of wet, messy food stuff. They've had a magazine in print since the 70s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm into that.
Sploshing.
I'm into like the dirtiness of that. Like that seems kind of fun.
It's interesting that Gladys brings up sexual feelings.
Well, because I have had a couple dreams about Marie Kondo. Oh. And just to preface this, I've never been sexually attracted to a woman. And I'm not
never?
Even. No, I haven't.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not even sure that this is sexual. I don't know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of enchanted by her.
Mm.
And
what are your dreams about?
We were kissing.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and put that down for sexual.
But it's not conscious. Do you know what I mean? When I watch the show, I'm just like impressed by her.
Do you wake up feeling wet in your downstairs?
Yeah, with morning wood.
Does it spark joy in your lower half?
She sparks joy for me.
But is it a makeout sesh? Is it a heavy petting? What's do you recall?
It was like a makeout.
What?
Well, no. Okay, I had one dream where she was just helping me organize my closet.
So multiple dreams about Marie
there were
Kondo.
Two.
Okay,
there were two. I had one where she was helping me organize my closet, and then when it was done, it was like just a weight lifted off my shoulder.
A lot of symbolism there.
Yeah, right.
Closet.
Seriously. Oh, the closet. You're right.
Because I'm in the closet.
Yeah.
In case anybody missed that.
Maybe you. I picked up on it very quickly.
I don't know if you
get what
we're putting
down. I don't know
if
you know that. I've never. You are the most hetero person.
I know.
You and Keith Malley are probably the two most hetero people that I have in my sphere of close friends. Most of my female friends have hooked up with another woman in some capacity. Not saying that they are all bi, but they've definitely experimented, but you've like never even had an impulse thought feeling about it ever. Am I correct on that?
No, I mean, I kissed my friend Maggie when I was in the
eighth
grade.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. No.
No, when I was in the eighth grade, we did like, we were at Borders. We used to hang out at the cafe at Borders.
Nice.
And there was a game. It was like kind of, I guess it was essentially truth or dare, but it was like a deck of cards.
Sure.
Anything to like get kids to, like any excuse to make out with each other. You know what I mean?
What kind of magazine? Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
What kind of magazines did you read at Borders? What'd you do when you were there?
We would just fuck around.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even read the magazine. Sometimes they had comic books. Sometimes I would read the comic books, but like usually we just would hang out at a cafe.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And make out.
Well, no, I didn't make out with her. We just kissed.
Okay.
But somebody took a picture and then they put it on MySpace.
Mm.
And then my brother saw the picture on MySpace. And then I guess he thought that this was photo evidence that I was a lesbian, but I.
Oh, okay. I remember this. Yeah.
But, and he kept it for like years from me that he knew mm-hmm. that I had kissed a girl, but like I don't remember how it came up, but he was like,
did he think that you were like waiting to come out? Is that what?
Probably. Like okay. I think he was being respectful. Okay. Which is good. Like it was good. It was just, it was hilarious that like
he thought he knew that you were secretly gay.
Yeah, but really it was just it. Like me being
who took
stupid.
A photo of you guys kissing. Was it another friend?
Yeah, which other...
Okay, not like a peeping Tom above the books and Borders.
No, like some other friend trying to capture the moment.
Okay.
Boy, what a time capsule of a story. Yeah. Borders, MySpace, photographs.
Yeah.
Scandalized by lesbian stuff.
I know. It really takes you back to a time much simpler than now.
The year was 2003.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. So Marie Kondo's cleaning out your closet and then...
Yeah. And so that was one dream. And then in the other dream, I think we were also cleaning, but I just remember the kiss.
One kiss.
Yeah. It was like a nice, it was like a soft, sensual kiss.
This is
a delicate, like
so
a delicate,
interesting.
Like a flower opening, like a kiss.
Wow.
She's so
nice
demure.
Kiss.
Like a flower opening.
Yes.
This is
like in the Planet Earth documentaries when they show the flower blooming in slow motion, uh-huh. like that sweeping kiss.
Wow. Motion.
And how would you describe kisses with men?
I've had kisses like that with men.
Flower opening kisses.
But more like volcanic.
More like, I mean, there's no man that I think would have as delicate of a mouth as Marie Kondo. Like yeah. she has
no
like,
person
if they did.
Ew.
She's so we looked it up. She's 4'8".
Yeah. She's tiny.
She's tiny.
She's tiny.
I thought she was like, I don't know, 5'1" or something.
Yeah.
But no, she's
pictures
like,
of her with like gigantic fat Americans and her translator is it's unbelievably
yeah, they're
funny.
Not even fat though. They just look huge next to her.
Yeah. Do you think that's why? Do you think? What do you think this is about?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
Have you ever been attracted to Asian women before?
No, I've never been attracted to women.
Okay.
That was
so
established.
No. Yeah.
I know. I'm like trying to get her to admit it. I'm like, what about Asian women?
What about short women?
Are you like
women?
One of those mail order bride guys? Are you gonna order a no, delicate
Asian slave from across Thailand?
Exactly.
I wish I had that kind of power.
It's just human trafficking.
I think what it must be is a strong desire within myself to be naturally clean and organized.
Do you think you can like succubus this ability through sexual acts with Marie Kondo?
Yeah, like
Do you think if you fuck Marie Kondo, you become more organized?
So I saw an interview. This was years ago, but I saw a televised interview that Britney Spears did mm-hmm. when she was like on tour in Japan or mm-hmm. something. And this Japanese reporter asked her if when she made out with Madonna, Madonna's soul transferred into Britney. But it was a sincere question. Like, do you think that Madonna's soul transferred into yours? And Britney was like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe it's that. Like, maybe I want Marie Kondo's soul to transfer into me so that I can be organized.
You're pretty, I mean, I'm not going to call you organized, but comparatively to the filthy, filthy guy in his 20s. You're not even close. You're very self-conscious about how unorganized you are.
I'm pretty messy.
I don't know. No, I disagree. I hate to say that because...
It's crazy that you would even say that because you are so hyper clean. Like,
yeah.
We're so opposite. It's crazy. I would think that you would think I'm worse than I actually am.
No.
I am not naturally organized. So any organization that you see me do is very intentional and very like
Are you showing off trying. For me?
Yeah, I'm flexing for you.
Nice. Okay.
No, I just I have to try. You know what I mean? I have to like schedule it on the calendar and be really strict with myself about it. And I've learned to do that because if I don't do that, I will let myself go.
When you see a picture of Marie Kondo, do you light up?
Yes, she is just, she's so pure. She's so, right?
She's so excited. Her tone just raised.
She's so pure. She's so kawaii. Mm-hmm. She's like this little cartoon character that just walks into people's lives. But then also she has this other side.
You hit the mic. You were so excited.
I was so excited. I couldn't control myself. She has this other side that like she's like a boss ass bitch and she forces people to confront their feelings about things.
Okay.
And like she's built this empire for herself out of pure mental illness. I admire her so much.
Do you think she's throwing out is like a compulsion?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've done extensive research into her life.
Yeah.
And
I'm get closer to her.
I've learned.
Are you going to kill Marie Kondo?
Only if you think that will make me become her.
Will she see me?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's celebrity obsessional behavior that to try to get closer to them, people often will kill them.
Yeah, like Selena's assistant.
Yeah, John Lennon. Mm-hmm. Or they have a whole fucking wall with all their pictures.
Okay, can I? This is going to sound controversial.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that for the record, I'm not saying that I would ever kill anyone, celebrity or otherwise, because I absolutely would not.
It's really fencing yourself in.
But,
Your Honor.
But objectively, I kind of get it.
Do you?
I kind of do.
Is it because so many good things have happened to them? It's like, how about a bad thing?
Oh.
No.
The worst thing, some would argue.
That's an interesting perspective, but no, I just think there's such a thin line between love and hate anyway.
Sure.
That if you're so fucking obsessed with someone, I could see wanting to kill them a little
bit. Oh, yeah, I totally understand
the passion.
Why that happens. It's also...
But I don't want to kill Marie Kondo.
No, you want to fuck her. Jeffrey Dahmer used to eat the brains of the men that he killed, and in an interview... They were like, why did you do that? And he was like, I just wanted to be closer to them. Like, I wanted them to be a part of me.
Oh,
like,
that
it
is
felt
that
like
is
a
so
love.
Terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of cannibalism and murdering people and all this stuff. Like, the cannibal cop was talking about how he just wanted to, like, be with these women. There's something about, like, you're not able to be with them, so physically dominating them or bringing them into your own body feels like a way of being with them.
Oh, that makes sense. You know what? I should have done this before, but I'm just going to do a quick search to see if anything obvious comes up about like dream symbolism and kissing.
Okay.
Have you guys ever oh, I'm sure you've had like sex dreams
all the time.
But has it ever been with somebody that you wouldn't expect or like somebody that
my dad. I've had multiple sex dreams with my dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How graphic are we talking?
I don't want to get into it, but it was rough. It was a rough evening. It was hard to wake up. And yeah, I've had sex dreams with my dad. I've had sex dreams with friends that I have no attraction to. I have sex dreams all the time. Maybe less so as of recently, but I think a lot of it's about like power. Or maybe I got molested. Who knows? What about you, Gladys?
No one's willing to just say it's about sex. That's not on the table.
I guess not with my dad.
But then
dad.
Your dad, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he was doing it at the same time, like Fievel.
Maybe. He's upset that we're no longer in communication, so he's trying to get at me through sex dreams. No, there are certainly sex dreams that are... I get, like, I've had sex dreams of exes who I want to have sex with. But when it's with, like, a friend or something like that... I don't know.
For me, the person just always has kind of a gray dot over their face and it's just a body.
Yeah.
There's never a face.
Yeah. That's, I feel often females who have sex fantasies say that the men are like body or like just bodies, but not really like have detail in who they are. I've just had sexual fantasies about being like taken by another entity, but I'm not sure really. I don't really read into dreams all that often because I've also had multiple murder dreams. I've had dreams about killing people. I've had dreams about people killing me. I've had night terrors. Like, I've had a whole variety of shit. I mean, I'm kind of a fucked up person, but you know. Well, Emily looks up this floral kiss symbolism to try to convince herself she's not a lesbian. Anyways.
Well, Freud said that kisses and dreams could indicate possible feelings of guilt.
Interesting.
I think I'm guilty that I can't clean.
Wow.
I think it's about cleaning. I really think it's about cleaning. Mm-hmm. Because if she was just a woman, mm-hmm. and she wasn't this like cleaning guru, mm-hmm. I don't think I would be attracted to her. I think it's mostly because of how obsessed she is with throwing things out. I'm into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, although like whenever someone is bi or has had multiple partners of different sexes, I often hear them saying that it's like about the person and not their sex. Like they find like people attractive.
I'm not gay for women. I'm gay for Marie Kondo.
Okay. Well, congrats, man.
She's my hall pass.
Welcome to the LGBTQIA spectrum.
MK community.
Yeah, seriously. Well, when I was high on edibles, I confessed to you a crush on another woman that I have that I'd been holding down for a while.
Oh God, this delights me so much because I know that.
And I'll never do anything about this.
Okay, like you have hooked up with women before. So sure. I know that, but this is not the type of woman that I would ever see you with if you were with a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah? How come?
Because I would see you with every woman that you've ever described to me that you thought was attractive. Mm-hmm. Or like, I remember we went to lunch one day and you gave your number to this waitress.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like very fashion-y.
Sure.
And I always picture you with more of a lipstick lesbian.
Yeah. Femme is the word.
A
high femme. Yeah. Well, I don't know. This woman is a comedian. She's a friend of mine. She is gay. And we've become very close friends. And she's super talented. She's definitely been on this show. She's super talented. And she's someone who I like value so much as like a comrade in our career. You know, like it's...
Sure.
It's an invaluable relationship. And... Yeah, she has such, she's so tightly wound and she has like, she gets in very, she's had a lot of really catastrophic relationships and that's not coming from a place of judgment, as have I, but like the risk of engaging in any type of relationship with her is far too high because of the potential fallout if it like didn't work out and all. I don't know.
Well, that like even you saying that shows that this is more than just a fantasy for you. Like this is a crush.
Yeah, it's a crush. It's totally a crush.
But you wouldn't like, you wouldn't even, is it because you think that she can't handle it? Or is it because you think that?
I think I can't handle it.
You can't handle it.
Yeah.
Like you can't handle her.
No, I can't handle her. No, definitely not. There's also a friendship that's already entangled. It's too complicated. It's the whole thing's already too complicated, but she's fucking cool. She's a cool person.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think, I think you should go for it, dude.
No, what are you talking?
No, I actually don't. I take it back. I know. You know what? I agree with you. Is it off base to say that this person's kind of an anxious person?
Of course, very anxious.
And I think that if you did something to fuck it up,
yeah,
like I think that it could be very messy. That's probably where you're coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's also like when you have a good friend who is, comedically on your level, but I think she's a much better comedian than I am, but and provides valuable insight in life and is caring and is a good connection. Sorry to be like a careerist pig, but like I feel confident that she will be successful in our field. Taking a risk, especially like I've never been in a lesbian relationship before, for me to like do it with someone like that would be so high risk. We would make a great fucking couple, though.
You wouldn't even like make out with her, though.
I can't.
You wouldn't do the condo.
I can't flower kiss her. It would lead her on, too. She's very sensitive. She's a very sensitive person, as am I.
And you're counting on her identifying herself via your words, right? Like, at this point, she knows.
If she heard this, I think, I don't even know if she would think it was her.
Damn.
I wonder. I'm going to send it to her. We'll find out.
No. I think probably based off all these context clues so far, she probably could.
You just have a stable of anxious friends.
Oh, yes. Oh,
absolutely.
I have a stable of anxious friends. I also have multiple, like a lot of the female friends that I have in the comedy community are queer in some way, shape or form. That's kind of just how it shakes out. I think I'm also like, I don't know. I love lesbian energy, man. It's cool. They don't give a shit about what men think. That's what it's refreshing.
I think you have to have a slightly larger amount of testosterone in your body to even do this, like to want to get on stage.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. Yeah, for sure. It's also like, lesbian comedian Judy Gold. I don't know if you guys are familiar
with her.
Yeah.
One of my favorite 90s.
Oh, she's the best. So I was talking to her about when she was coming up as a comic. In the 80s and 90s. And she said lesbians were kind of like the only women that were making big headway at that time because they weren't worried about what men thought about them. Like female comics then were still very much expected to be like ladylike and appealing. And it was just a different time than it is now. And also the men were not trying to fuck the lesbians. Like right. No one was bothering them. And,
right. So like nothing was in their way.
They could get work done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's I'm not trying to appease men with my stand up now, but men are certainly bothering me. And I'm certainly getting like hit on and fucking, you know, it's a big fucking deal.
So maybe it would help your career to be a lesbian.
I have been wanting to be a lesbian. I mean, I don't even know where I would put myself. I don't have the balls to call myself bi because I think that's co-opting like the queer people's lives. Right. I've had two.
You can say you're like fluid.
Sure. I've hooked up with two women. I find women attractive, but I've never had like a relationship with a woman. So I wouldn't comfortably call myself bisexual.
You don't do that Anna Paquin thing.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I'm by my husband.
Exactly. I feel like it's also
does
like,
Anna Paquin do that?
She like speaks at, you know, like spirit awards and stuff for gay people. But sure. Like also, you know, she's really into her husband.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's OK. This is people are not going to like this, but here we go. There's a certain type of Brooklyn comedian that not a person in general, but let's say
a type
that champions their queerness or a lot of their more progressive lifestyles, but yet and gets booked for that reason, gets booked on these queer shows.
LGBT.
And is embraced by this community but still is straight, acts straight, identifies as straight. So to me, you're co-opting a group's struggle.
But how can you tell how somebody identifies?
Based off of every single person they sleep with being a white guy.
But like, how would you know?
I don't, and I can't. So I can't ever fully. That's why I'm like, people are not going to like this because based off of this definition, like I'm actually more gay than a lot of these people because I have actually had sexual. If we're saying that what you are is what you've done.
Yeah.
Then I'm more gay than a lot of these people. But I don't think that's true. I think that you can identify as queer and never act on it.
Gay and never act on it.
Exactly. So, but there's something about it that's very like, it seems like you're using this for social currency and I'll never be able to prove it. Nor do I like want to go out and take whatever, live your fucking life.
Yeah, like that's not your cause.
That's not my cause. But you
just don't want to be that.
I don't want to be that.
I think when you see other people who actually struggle.
I think that's gross. You're like taking a really being queer or being gay and growing up and having to come out of the closet. All of the actions that are involved in that are very painful and like
Yeah.
I think it's vile. If you are not truly that way, I think it's vile to co-opt that to become a more interesting or quote unquote bookable person. That's, yeah. I think it's disgusting.
I think we just started the era where painful isn't necessarily everyone's experience. Some people have been gay since they were 11 and are just having a super good time with it.
Yeah, and that's what I...
That's true. That is true.
I totally hope for that. But I think being gay, like...
I understand the qualifiers.
Like 15...
You're putting a lot of qualifiers down.
Totally.
You have to.
And it's like me talking about it with no experience. I mean, I guess my experience with it is that when I... Going to an all-girls school growing up, when I went to a co-ed school, everyone called me gay and... You know, there was like a lot of lesbian jokes. That's my minor experience with it. It was alienating. I'm fine. Like, but, you know, you see the damage of being a closeted person psychologically. You see the damage that coming out in a community that's not supportive, you know, it's a it keeps getting better, which is a good thing. But I don't know. There's something about. So that's why
I think what you're really pointing out is when people use their queerness more so than anything else, like use any opportunity to put their queerness on blast, seemingly to get attention.
I mean, yeah. I'm saying supposed queerness.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is hard. That's why I'm like, oh, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I can't fucking resist it.
It's like that definition of porn from the Supreme Court. I know it when I see it.
Exactly.
It's no.
The same type of person that uses the death of a comedian in our community as a way to get Facebook likes. This Booyah. Is the person that I'm talking about, like who had no relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the people who are close with them or someone who writes a well-written comment about how powerful this person's impact was. I'm not talking about that. I know that's how we emote is via these vehicles. And yeah. I've done it myself. I have a show where I talk about my life. I'm not like
a private person.
Yeah. I'm not poo-pooing on emoting publicly, but there's something fucking malicious about I wouldn't have the balls to write a status about someone that I barely met. I don't know. Here we are.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's
with
vile. You.
I think about that. I can't even go on Facebook after somebody dies.
Who fucking raised you to use something like that for your advantage? That's yeah. fucking gross.
For likes.
For likes.
Yeah, so. I know. Lighten the mood, people.
God damn you guys. I forgot all about the time that Britney and Madonna kissed.
I know. We go all the fuck over here. Anyway.
Wow. I'm always here to remind people of that.
Yes.
I bring it up in every conversation.
It was such like a cheek peck on the lips, too.
Yeah, it was.
It was quite the smooch. But then what I forgot about it until just now in this very moment is that people were like freaking out because they cut away after Britney and Madonna kissed. They cut away to show Justin Timberlake's reaction. And then they missed the kiss with Christina. Like Madonna kissed Britney.
Did she?
And then she turned to the other side and also kissed Christina.
She's no the idea. Actual slut too.
Yes. But they cut away to Justin. So Christina never got her kiss. So then everybody was talking about, oh, Britney kissed Madonna. And nobody was
Justin's
talking about Christina.
Fucking bummed out face.
Oh. Yeah. Huh. No, I don't remember what his reaction shot. I think he was just like, oh, okay. Justin was bitter after that breakup. But anyway.
Moving
Let's talk
forward.
About you, Gladys.
Gladys.
Woo!
Welcome to the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. We've gone around the world with this intro, but it's time to talk to you a little bit.
We've gone so many good places, uh-huh. Some of them dovetailing nicely with my whole deal.
That's good.
Especially like in regards to minimalism, I suppose that was going to come up.
Yeah, well, so I met Gladys in Vermont, as I mentioned before, and we had a conversation after a show. I loved her set, and then I got to know her a little bit, and you were talking to me like, And I use the word off the grid, but you were resistant to that. But you lived, let's say, outside of polite society. Is that
you
a
mean
better?
Like on the road?
On the road,
yes.
Yeah.
And that is also how I plan to live here. Like right now, I'm sleeping in my car, and when I move here in May, I'm just going to live in my car.
Okay. So when did you start doing that? When like what drew you to that life?
Far too late in life. It was in my late 20s. I mean, I guess I'm pretty happy that I had like a job and, you know, paid my own like rent, car insurance, all that for many years before going on the road. But
what was like the inciting incident?
What was the catalyst?
Yeah.
I was renting the bottom floor of this house in Atlanta. I was the waitress. I was paying like $400 a month for this huge space. And then come to find out that the person I was giving my rent check to was no longer giving them to the banks. And he was like hiding all of the envelopes that were coming, saying that you're about to get kicked out. So then one day I come home and there's a letter from Freddie Mac on the door that said, you can't come back inside here anymore.
Okay.
Holy shit.
And then, you know, you could like, I mean, yeah, I could go into like sleeping on my friends' couches and getting a storage unit or something, which sure. Never get a storage unit. That's just get rid of the stuff.
Well, like, in New York, the apartments are storage units.
Yeah, seriously. Oh,
yeah. But I had already been going to rainbow gatherings for years before that. I had learned how
to.
So,
what are rainbow gatherings?
God, it doesn't really lend itself to a succinct explanation. Imagine like if Burning Man wasn't for pussies and there was no money involved. Okay. Like, it's been happening since the early 70s, since 1971. A lot of Vietnam veterans started it.
Where
it happens in the National Forests of America. Every year, Nationals is in like a different place. Like last year's in Georgia. Year before that, it was in Oregon. This year, it's going to be in either Michigan or Minnesota. Okay. There's regionals happening constantly, but they are technically illegal. The cops don't want you to go. They'll try to stop you like on your way in. Mm-hmm. There's no money involved whatsoever. In fact, like no alcohol and no money. That's kind of the deals. There are people that drink, but we don't like them. And they stay like about a half mile away from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Do people do drugs at all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just no alcohol.
Correct. Well, it's discouraged. You can like, no one's going to like kick you out. You can't, everyone's invited. No one's kicked out.
Alcohol,
we just kind of make it tactically hard to get there. Like you have to walk for a couple miles.
Okay. So you'd already kind of been doing this, like you had connections into this world a little bit.
I understood that there was people and I didn't necessarily know how they lived. Uh-huh. And I always imagined their lives involved a lot of hardship, a lot of being like cold and hungry or whatever. Mm-hmm. But turns out that's not the case. Although maybe it is for some of them, especially if a substance abuse problem. But Brian Peoples is calling it the brown people, but we call ourselves dirty kids.
Okay.
You know, dirty kids.
No, I don't. No.
Patchwork, pit bulls, big backpack.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, you know, and like,
I feel like
leading
we can
right
learn
into
a
that.
Lot from you.
I know. Okay. These fucking, I had heard about it from other kids, but these fucking posers in Brooklyn wearing Carhartts.
Okay.
7 to 10 years ago, if you're wearing Carhartt clothing, you either worked a blue collar job, probably construction, or you like illegally hopped freight trains.
Uh-huh.
And now I see people walking around with like Carhartt jackets that certainly don't do either one of those.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
And it's fucking, okay, it's crazy because on one hand, it's been helpful to me. I know that I'm getting access to like coffee shop bathrooms that I would not normally get because I'm not sure this even reads as homeless in Brooklyn. Like
when I'm
in Manhattan, people walk up and just hand me money. When
really?
I'm in Manhattan, people walk up and hand me food.
Gladys is wearing for the people.
Wait, really?
I like Gladys's getup.
This jacket is filthy. I wear like, I'm not wearing the Carhartt pants right now, but
I didn't consider because you're carrying around all that stuff that you have.
Yeah, I have a huge
in that corner. Like so that's a little bit more less surprising because if you're carrying around that amount of stuff, people just assume that that's all your belongings.
But like normally I fly signs. Like I stand beside interstate exits. I have like the cardboard sign asking for money.
Signs.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't verbally panhandle. Like I would never be like, can I have a dollar? But I do hold a cardboard sign. But in Manhattan, I don't have to do that. People just hand it to me.
Really?
It's pretty dope.
That's awesome.
But in Brooklyn, like, I'm not sure it's great. I can tell by the way people treat me that they don't want me to, like, get the fuck out.
I think Brooklyn, we were talking about Brooklyn on our live stream show last Friday, is that, like, the hipster style, it used to be kind of like beards, beanies, plaid, and now it's kind of co-opted into like, I guess, homeless looking.
It's so fucking offensive. It's so fucking offensive to me to like not only come in and gentrify a place, which we all know what that's about, but then to actually co-opt like working class clothing or whatever.
Sure.
It's actually like the over in certain parts of Brooklyn, in certain parts of Brooklyn, the dirtier you are, the richer you are.
It's my culture, not a costume.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I get it. Appropriating your culture.
No, but that's pretty funny, too, because also, like, I'm a smart person. I'm, you know, we're well-read or whatever. I could have a job and live indoors. Some people believe that the only people that should be, like, out on the road are, like, runaway foster kids.
Uh-huh.
Like, people that
I
really did have no.
Runaway foster kids should not be out on the road. They should have a home.
Yeah. So what kind of car do you have? Just curious.
These days, I have a Kia SUV. I bought it with money that I made last year on a pot farm in California. Prior to that, for years, I rode around in an 86 Toyota pickup truck, mm-hmm. which was much more high. This I would saw this car low profile. Like okay. You can't tell when you're on the street that there's somebody asleep inside.
Okay.
But yeah, the other vehicle was just, you know, it looked like trouble.
So what about like, food and war, like shelter, these things that you're talking about, like people living out in the forest or outside of a home, you said that they're not cold and they are well taken care of. So what do you guys do for that kind of thing?
I mean, for food, mm-hmm. there's dumpster diving, there's mm-hmm. food stamps, there's food banks. Mm-hmm. The food bank in Vermont is fantastic. Oh my God. Yeah, they give you like maple syrup in a glass bottle.
I don't doubt
how
that.
How do you dumpster dive? Like, what's the methodology for like determining our expiration dates, really expiration date? Like, how do you do it?
I mean, you know, the old, like, our body literally has, like, the reason why the bitter thing is on the back of your tongue, you know, it's, like, salty, sweet, yeah, or whatever, yeah. So you don't swallow it all the way. But it never even comes to that. They throw away perfectly good food all the time. Sometimes that the expiration date isn't for the next month. It's just the truck with more food showed up, and they don't have room in the store for this old food, and they can't mail it back because that's expensive.
Wow.
So throw it away. But a lot of chain, like major grocery stores have trash compactors we call dragons in the back that that you cannot get. Well, some people can get into them, but it's hard to
some
get into
people.
Them. There's some levers.
There's certain I know, wizards.
I know people.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a smaller grocery store, you can find it out back there. I haven't checked the Trader Joe's here, but like in some cities, they have not locked the dumpsters yet.
Okay.
And that's pretty good. But even just
if you can get on that Trader Joe's train, yeah, like seriously. Some expired chocolate covered nuts or something.
Oh, God. There was a month where they would just throw away ice cream. I was eating mochi. I was eating like ice cream constantly. It's so opulent. I eat so much better now than I ever did when I worked 60 hours a week. When I worked 60 hours a week, I was buying like Bertolli meal in a bag and like just bullshit crap. I was making decisions at the grocery store.
Well, because when you're making more money, then your lifestyle naturally increases a lot of the time. So then to maintain a certain lifestyle, you are not able to save enough money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, totally.
Did you...
But mostly, if you just write the word food ? On a sign and sit outside of a grocery store, people are overjoyed to give you food.
Really?
They fucking love it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So did you decide that you were gonna only, do you only spend a certain amount of time in each place? Like you said, right now you're living on a farm.
I have spent the last year housed up with my friends who also used to travel the country on a school bus together. I'm a little too standoffish to sleep in a pile of people. In a metal tube, but that's their bag.
I don't think you have to be standoffish to not want to sleep in a pile of people.
Well, but I mean, there's also the camaraderie. Like, it's worth it. It's totally worth it to have a crew. Sometimes I love them. But that's how we call the homeless people that stay in one place. We call them home bums. Okay. And it's like a lot of times, you know, they have mental issues or substance abuse problems. In fact, 98% of homeless people have those two issues.
That makes sense.
And they don't know that it works way better when you move around. Yeah, people aren't tired of your bullshit when you're just stopping. Hey, I'm in Boise for like 4 days and then you move on. And
you get to see more places.
I've been to every place. Well, every place in the lower 48.
Well, so how long have you been staying where you're staying right now?
About a year. I've spent the last, like, I'd say 2.5 winters in Vermont, though.
Mm.
Okay. I really do love it there.
Yeah, Vermont's fucking cool.
And do you earn money on the farm at all, or is it just your residence? And
it's a house that we all collectively own, like bought, paid for. We do sell shiitake mushrooms to restaurants, do sheep.
Those are my favorite kind of mushrooms.
And stuff. Yeah, I wish they were mitake. Those are the high dollar ones.
I don't even know what mitake is.
Oh, shit.
Hint of the woods. You look at it. Not here to talk fungus, but...
we can talk fungus another time.
We pay a slight amount of rent collectively, but then that's what we use to buy food because they're bushy and want nice food.
So, okay. So like when you initially got... evicted because that asshole stole all your money and then you started like kind of moving around. Was there someone who kind of like helped you like every time you move into an alternative circle, even like comedy, like that this is a completely different example.
Did you have a sensei?
Yeah. Do you have someone that helped you?
I mean, he was kind of hitting the road at the same time, but shout out to my friend Finch, Adam Buxbaum. We learned how to gas jug together.
What is gas jugging?
The way that I was able to cross the country 6 times a year was I have a gas jug in my car. And when people are pumping gas, I will walk up to them with the jug and be like, can I have some? Yeah. Like 9 times out of 10, they say yes. I haven't paid. Well, I have to pay for gas in Vermont the last year, but otherwise, like, I don't pay for gasoline.
That makes sense.
How much do they give you on average?
5, 10 gallons. Sometimes I've never waited more than 25 minutes to fill up my tank.
Wow.
Wait, this is going to make people not like me. No, most people don't listen to this.
No, this is fascinating.
This is going to make people want to be homeless.
Yeah.
See, and that's not, most people don't have the chops. It does involve a surprising amount of self-discipline. It involves minimalism, being on your game. Like, I brought 2 pairs of pants and 1 skirt, and that was way too much clothes. I don't know what I was thinking.
Really?
Yeah, I'm down, like, wearing the same thing every day is dope.
It's
a great way to live.
You don't have to think about it.
Yeah, it's like a uniform.
Yeah.
How do you wash your clothes?
I just got done at the laundromat like 5 minutes from here, which was coin op, thank God. Prior to that, okay, so the day before yesterday, I came up here from Vermont and I had hit the food bank. I had some raw meat in the back of my car because I thought I was going to have a place to cook it. But then since I've spent a year not disciplined and I'm slipping off my game, absently left the meat for a moment on top of my sleeping bags and then had like raw chicken juice on my sleeping bag. So then last night I went to a super expensive laundromat in Brooklyn, like right there in Williamsburg, where you have to buy like a $3 card first.
Yeah,
and it was
some
bullshit. And so I'm drying. I wash my bags. I'm drying them. Tina calls me and said, I got to do the set at QED in like 45 minutes. So I had to pull all the sleeping bags out of there, kind of wet, put them in the back of the car, drove to Queens. After that was done, I'm on the wrong, like the farm schedule. And I just like passed out on top of wet sleeping bags in the back of my car at like 2 in the morning. But I finished drying them this morning. And you just go to laundromats. In fact, for a dirty kid, I am one of the cleaner ones. Like, I always make sure this layer is extremely clean. Like, even if the outside layer isn't clean, like, this one is. I carry a couple towels and washcloths and, you know, get a shower every couple days. When I was really on the road, it was usually a Motel 6. Those are like $35.
Okay.
Most places in America, I would switch out my towels, like, leave the dirty ones there, take their clean ones.
So what do you see for the long term? Do you think that the lifestyle that you're living now, do you think it's going to be sustainable?
Of course not. My God, no, I was so happy to be out of it. Like, I was fine living in Vermont. And then I unfortunately found out that I think I'm fairly good at comedy and I also have like something to say. And that's why I've come here to ply that trade. I don't really want, I love this. I know I do love the city. I love being here. I love it. I love it. I love it. But no, I didn't think I'd still be doing this at this age. I want to get married and have kids.
See, that's something you mentioned to me.
Yeah. Andrea mentioned that to me.
It's a crazy ass thing to remember. I'm so flattered right now. How the fuck did you remember that?
You made an impression on me.
Yeah. Can you talk about like your desire for a baby? Or I guess it's a husband and kids.
Andrea specified
the baby.
Yeah.
Aspect.
Yeah. No, actually that one's kind of sad. There's like too much sad stuff there. I won't go into it. But yeah, no, I hope it happens to me. I am like, I'm 35. Just found that out too. I thought I was 37.
Oh,
I found out
mazel.
Like a couple weeks ago that I am only 35.
Why did you think you were 37?
Because I start saying the year afterwards to get used to it coming out of my mouth. Like, you know, when I turned 30, I just started a couple months later telling people I was 31.
Okay.
Because like, that's just getting myself used to it.
Oh, only a couple months later.
Yeah,
because I used to do that when I was younger, but
like
it would be like a month before I would start saying the next, like when I was 9 and my birthday was in a month, I would start saying I was 10, but you like jump right. You're like a year ahead.
Yeah, I guess I needed to psych myself out that much, but then it got away from me.
Well, so I know you said you don't want to talk about the sadness aspect of the connection. Can I ask, like, what are relationships like on the road like this? Like, what have your relationships been like?
Extremely intense, because when you meet someone else, like all of a sudden now you are both sleeping in the bed of a pickup truck together and spending 24 hours a day together. I mean, I suppose most people to have a relationship where instantly you've now spent a month together, but every single hour per day of that month together, you know, it's, people get bonded super quick. It's explosive in the beginning and explosive at the end.
Oh, explosive because now you have to break up, but your lives are so interwoven.
I mean, I wouldn't say that either. It's pretty sweet. Like the old joke goes, you can just drop them off anywhere. So breaking up with a homeless person is like, you're just like, okay, bye.
That's actually kind of amazing. You just drop someone off. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've definitely done that.
Have you had any significant relationships? Have they all been relatively short?
I have had some significant relationships. I mean, no, not longer than a year, really.
Okay. I've never gone. A year and a half is my longest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, in my before this, doing this life, I definitely had long relationships, lived with the dude for like 4 years.
Right. So, okay. So you had like the, you know, typical job, like rent paying, tax, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, bartending, that's not like a real job.
Sure, sure. And then when you switched over to this life, were you immediately like, oh, this is better? Or was the life before so bad that it was just like an alternative? Like, what?
The life before was fine. This is way better. Yeah. I mean, how to explain.
What do you like about it?
It's, I mean, you're sincerely and truly alive. Like, you're in the moment a lot. You certainly don't have, like, the stuff weighing you down.
Yeah, sincerely, like, and truly alive is an interesting, I think a lot of people, like, we have this conversation, sorry to interrupt you. Mm. We have this conversation about, we both worked 9-to-5 jobs before this. And my last job particularly was very corporate. When I worked in fashion, and I just saw people who hated their jobs, but worked constantly to maintain.
Knowing that you have to go back to that building every day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The existential dread.
It's numbing. It's like, it's very numbing. And I think there definitely are people who have a structured job, traditional job, whatever you want to call it, and do sincerely like it and yes. like what they're doing. But I do think the vast majority of people just do it because they, again, they want to live a certain kind of lifestyle. They know that they need money to afford that lifestyle. So they're like, oh, I'm stuck here. I have to do it.
Well, there's this feeling like I'm stuck, but it's like you're not stuck.
And if people instead of approach, I think we're taught, we are conditioned to approach our careers and our lives that way from when we're really little, instead of learning to approach it a different way, which would be like, what do I really like to do? And how can I do what I really like to do as much as possible and then find a way to meet my needs?
Yeah. The needs are the first thing. And also the reputation and how you look to other people.
Yeah. If you didn't care how the world saw you, you would just find a way to do what makes you happy and you wouldn't be concerned about appearing a certain way.
I think pursuing happiness isn't necessarily like where we should be going, but I do understand how that feels like an appropriate response to what's going on in the world right now. Like I say, it's hard for most people because they know their jobs don't matter.
Right. Maybe not pursue happiness, but run away from obvious unhappiness.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
I think pursue happiness.
Systemic unhappiness. Like, it doesn't seem like it's set up for us to be healthy, happy, feel appreciated, engaged, use our minds to the capacity that our minds are capable of. Like, it's just, when I was working this corporate job, I was like, I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing. It's wasteful of like, human life too.
Yeah, like the future that I'm advocating for, certainly people's lives would get materially,
like
in a material sense, like you know, like worse or like, you know, less affluent, but like the stuff that matters, connections with other human beings,
yeah.
having a peace and stillness inside of yourself,
sure,
etc. That would increase massively. Because I'm one of those like kind of jumpsuit communists. Like I think people,
what is a jumpsuit communist?
Oh, I just think everybody should, until we get this, like, you know, we get off this planet, people should just wear jumpsuits, own no more than 2 pairs of shoes.
I love a good jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I like the aesthetic of that, and I like the idea that you're proposing.
And then if you do something super good, like if you save a bus full of children, you can have, like, a stripe on it or something. You can have, like,
like
a button.
Girl Scout jumpsuit. Patches, yeah. kind of.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, there goes that guy. Must be really killing it. He's got 2 stripes.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
By the way, we should make patches. I'm going to write that down.
called Sincerely and Truly Alive, the Gladys Patch.
Yeah.
Okay, so you felt, you just were drawn to the feeling of being like rigorously present, I guess, is kind of like what this lifestyle gives you. You're always like, everything is like, what do I do next instead of just going through the motions type thing? Does it engage your brain more, do you think?
Oh, God. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is no more autopilot. I mean, plus, you know, all of the sights that I've gotten to eat up with my eyeballs and live inside my brain forever now. You know, travel is broadening. You guys have traveled, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I can't imagine. I can't fathom being the person that hadn't seen all this.
Sure. What's your favorite place that you've gone on your travels?
I mean, I was pretty fond of Vermont. One reason that I stayed there.
Sure.
Gosh, Montana. I mean, there's definitely places on like the I-90 or whatever up in Montana and stuff that are just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I've heard
that.
Those big purple mountains with the snow caps from all the Coors Light commercials are like, you know, really
are actually
there.
Real.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Not just a way to get you to buy poison to kill yourself with.
Do you ever grow tired of it? Do you ever like get frustrated, or have you had a moment where you thought about...
Sure. I mean, especially because I am a person that values cleanliness, that takes a little extra time. I don't want to get some pitfalls other people's run into, scabies.
Scabies.
I've gotten scabies. Yeah. So
snap. How'd you get scabies?
What are scabies?
They're a mite.
Fairly antiquated.
Yeah, it's horrible. I got scabies from it's a crapshoot. It's either from I was dating a very filthy person.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah.
Came from someone you were dating.
Everything. Yeah. It was either one of the two. I think it was him. He had like a beard that he didn't keep clean. And when he would wake up in the morning, he would drink like Mountain Dew and not brush his teeth. These are just like descriptors so you can understand the hygiene problems.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a sense.
No shade to Mountain Dew or soda drinkers, but...
Shade to Mountain Dew in the morning. Yeah. Drinking Mountain Dew as your coffee.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't great. And so, yeah, his room was also kind of filthy. And we broke up. And shortly after, we both started getting the symptoms of scabies. And then he tried to pin it on me.
That you gave him
the
scabies.
The clean queen. He said, because scabies can be sexually transmitted in that it's a lot of skin on skin contact. Like that would make sense. And so he was like, were you skin on skinning with another man?
It's so hard. Like, yes, absolutely him.
Yeah, it's absolutely
him. It happens
him.
In prisons. It happens in like, just like wow. Bad.
Yeah. And I got it. And he was like, because I used to run around to a lot of factories because I was working in production at the time. So I was in a lot of spaces that have fabric, like mites live in fabrics and stuff like that. And so potentially, but like, no, though, because
but
if,
like it's more
if
likely
scabies
that it's
in these factories, they would be shut the fuck down.
Right. And it's just like way more likely that it would. Yeah, come
all
from
signs
his
point towards you,
ass.
You fucking filthy pig. But it doesn't like, so there's creams for the mites. I did not think we would get into this today. There are creams for the mites, but it itches. You have bumps everywhere and it itches a lot. And it's usually between the web of your fingers is where they live.
God.
It's disgusting. When you put the cream on, it actually gets worse before it gets better. So you don't think that it's working. It's fucking horrible.
How long does it take to go away?
Like a few weeks in
Damn.
My case.
And you are cooler for having had it. I think you're cool now.
Yeah, I've done some fucking filthy weird shit, man.
You've had it as well, Gladys?
No. Although I did.
Some would say I'm more punk rock than
Gladys.
I think
that's what we've established.
My one was at the age of 32 years old, I got lice for the first time.
Oh,
you know, that kind of blinds, but that's
pretty mild.
That's pretty mild. Yeah.
I suppose so.
Yeah. There's a lot of fear that like also I think a lot of fear towards this lifestyle. People think that you're like going to get diseases or like it's dirty. But it's like if you're taking antibiotics all the time, you like I don't understand why you think.
There was a period of time I would take like Advantage, like this flea and tick stuff you put on dogs like Metrin, and put it. If you put like all of it on it, it'd kill you because we'd sweat unlike dog. But anyway, I'd take like a little dab and put it like behind the neck, like behind my knees or whatever. No ticks, no mosquitoes.
Really?
Nothing. Won't get scabies. Might give you cancer.
Very resourceful. I would never think that that could go on human skin.
It technically shouldn't, but here we go, baby.
Yeah, but there's a hack.
I think like, you could. I've always wondered if you could kill someone with enough of it. If you had like five tubes of it and you like put it on the, you know, put it on their skin while they were asleep and it absorbed and then be like, oh, no, they rolled over on it.
You just wonder about that?
Yeah, you're just thinking about it. Just the thought. Okay, so what about like fight? What about like interpersonal shit between these groups that travel together? Are there ever like fucked up fights? Do people die? Do people go missing?
Are there dance-offs?
God, see, I almost, oh, and by the way, what I miss most is high heels and getting my nails done. I do miss that.
Interesting.
Whole different life.
Every so often. Yeah. It's going to be fun. But it's also a trap.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk about trains because that's not something to talk about, but definitely like... yeah, the term green light is when someone's done something bad and other people, like if you see this kid in any city in America, you have a green light to just beat him up.
Really?
Yeah. Weirdly enough, people coordinate this by Facebook. It didn't used to be that. There's a whole new generation of kids that, I don't know, they're just figuring it out, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, meaning if someone did something bad, like something that pops into my mind, too, is that being a woman... I would worry about like getting sexually assaulted and not having any. I mean, that happens in the city.
It's true. I do feel safe. I would say I've felt safer sleeping under bridges than I did when I had like an apartment in downtown Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
For sure. There's not just like people stalking the streets looking to murder other people. Maybe here, but like in most of America, you'll be okay. Okay. Here's a story that no one involved will ever hear because they won't listen to this. These two kids were on a train and one pushed the other one off, causing him to, you know, fall quite roughly, get some of his teeth knocked out. And then later on, they're at a rainbow gathering in Tennessee. They're at Tennessee Nationals. And this kid shows up and the kid he had pushed off was there. And the kid he pushed off has a lot of friends. And they grabbed up that kid. They drug him out off into the woods and they offered him the choice of... it's like we beat you up and leave, or you can pull out your own teeth with these pliers. Like we'll pull the teeth.
That's some saw shit
for you. Like,
because he fucked up the other guy's teeth by throwing him off the train.
And he did it. He only got through like three of them, but like they had like gauze and ice. Like they had somebody waiting on the side and he did it. And because he wanted to stay. And then after that, they were cool. They were like arm in arm.
Oh, okay. So we beat you up and you leave, or you like it's a very eye for an eye type.
Yeah, they probably would have gotten one tooth out of him, even if he did leave.
Sure.
Later on, the kid that originally lost his tooth lost an arm and a leg.
How?
And then on the train. And then,
okay.
Well, then other stuff happened. Won't go into that, but yeah. Yeah, it's sure it happens. People beef.
Yeah.
You don't need to, though. I mean, there's a lot of sad people out there. A lot of people that are out there for reasons such as their whole life sucking and not having parents. So it's going to lend itself to that kind of behavior.
What about your parents? What's your family
I have the privilege
situation?
Of fantastic parents. They cannot help me in any way financially. I would describe them as hapless. I mean, my mom died last year.
Sorry about that.
I would describe universal experience.
Yeah.
If you were lucky enough to know them in the first place. But yeah, I carry around the ultimate privilege inside of me of two parents who loved each other passionately, loved me very much, never argued.
That's great.
It is great.
Wow.
Yeah. What's that like?
I know. They were never, I would say this, I never saw my parents out of control at any point. I was like 10 years old before I realized grownups could be scared. That like,
really?
My parents, yeah. And it was like when a tornado was coming, we were like in a car on the side of the highway.
Wow.
And I saw my parents scared and I was like, wow.
That's fucking wild, man.
And it's a standard that I, would like to exhibit as a parent myself.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and where did you grow up?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. And so when you started living, I know you don't like the term off the grid. What is your issue with the term off the grid, by the way?
Because that literally implies that you're using like solar for power. We're on the municipal plumbing system. We have dope Wi-Fi. We have like electric. I mean, we live an hour and a half away from. Oh, you mean like the outside part? Yeah, I guess that's kind of off the grid. I have a cell phone. I mean,
but it's
I'm using
like,
Google Maps to like get where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not. Yeah. So,
I'm not a nature hippie. Like some of the people I live with now want to be like subsistence farmers. And that's not my bag whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm.
Okay.
More cyberpunk than that.
So,
cyberpunk.
So when you started living like
Hold on. What is
you're
cyberpunk?
Not aware of that as
what
like a literary genre,
no,
movies or anything?
Not at all. No.
I'm not sure. That's a bit tangenty.
Okay. Go back to your question, and then I will find out what cyberpunk.
Okay.
Learned that.
When you started to live a more nomadic lifestyle.
Okay. Yeah.
How did your parents react to it? Did they react to it?
They definitely thought I was going to, get like stabbed in the neck under a bridge. They were worried, but also, you know, I was a full-fledged adult.
Yeah.
I called them sometimes, you know, I'd come home once a year or whatever.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, no. Did they eventually come around to it?
I mean, sure, in so much as like, oh, that's her, it's what she does or whatever. Trying to wash all my filthy clothes. Very sweet. Giving me gifts like that I could never use.
Like what?
Like, here's a refrigerator you can plug into your car cigarette lighter and it keeps two cans of Coke cold.
That's adorable.
I know.
Parents across the board will always get you dumb shit you can't use with the nicest of intentions. Yes.
Yeah, it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got you this cat calendar. It's like, okay, well, come on now.
Do you want to educate us on cyberpunk now?
No, she's looking at the Wikipedia right now.
Oh, okay. All right. So I have cyberpunk is a subgenre of science fiction in futuristic setting that tends to focus on a combination of low life and high tech. Okay. Is that kind of what you mean
like
by
AI?
It?
Yeah. Like Neal Stephenson is an author I enjoy.
Okay.
I just use that to describe myself as in like, you know, somewhat of the opposite of.
Of like a like earthy, a tree hugger, hippy dippy kind of person. Okay.
Yeah. Because you're with it. You're tech savvy. You're modern. You're not. I definitely wouldn't call you a hippie.
Yeah. It's the only thing that'll save humanity. And, you know.
What, technology?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, we got to get off this planet.
I agree with that. We've fucked up this planet enough. We need
it's
to
our starter planet.
Leave it. Yeah, seriously.
Well, speaking of getting off this planet.
Ugh. I never want to get off.
We do need to get off this recording because we've reached the end of the hour. But Gladys,
speaking of getting. Well, no, we don't have time for that. Speaking of getting off the planet, it is kind of one of the reasons I came here because I've heard a lot of sets this last week and a lot of sets here in Brooklyn. I've heard a lot of people grappling in their comedy with the idea that the world is dying, but like, ha ha ha, we can't do anything about it. Ha ha ha, we're still just like obsessed with pop culture, but you know, climate change is going to end the world. And that speaks to me of like real feelings of fear, inadequacy, maybe people sense inside that they really aren't prepared for the future.
Yeah. Well, Andrea and I were talking about this the other day, actually, because it is a very scary thought to realize that like, truly, no matter how much effort we put into finding alternative energy sources and doing what we can individually, I mean,
how can we control these masses that don't give a shit?
There are so many more people that don't give a shit. And I don't see it turning a corner that we would have enough time to actually change anything.
Yeah, I feel maybe it's one of the reasons I'm even liking Manhattan more than Brooklyn, because I don't want to hear like people talk about their anxiety and shit. The world, the future is not going to be for weak people. I think it's going to be for the opposite of that. You know, the world is big and dying, so live outside, literally. And I definitely am going to try to encourage, you know, fuck self-deprecation, fuck like weakness in general, fuck like looking inward. Time to look outward. Into the future.
That's a hot take.
Interesting.
I think I have solutions. I'm a solution oriented person. It's not living in your car. It's way bigger than that. And it's something I hope to explore.
Wow. Okay. You know, we're going to talk about that more off the show. But do you social media? Where can people follow you? You don't have any social media.
I have a 20-year-old FARC.com profile.
What's
you can catch
FARC.com?
Me at @H_IS_FOR_heretic. H-E-R-E. Actually, no. Never mind that. I got a Facebook. A Facebook last year. I had never had one before that. And now I see what everybody's talking about. I don't know how it works still, like all the way. And I've never liked something. Like, I'm never going
to
hit that like button.
You know what? Don't do it.
People like Kendall Farrell, he's just like liking everything.
Yeah, man.
Like, what does that mean?
He's on top of shit.
What does it
in
mean?
A crazy way. It means nothing. But
no, I think I have to. That's too cocky, right? For me to think that I can do it without a social media presence. Cause I'm like, oh, I should just get good first and then other people do that for me. Like, I shouldn't do that and then get good at comedy. But it does work that way, doesn't it? Like, I have to come out of my ivory tower and, like, make a Twitter or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't have an Instagram or anything.
You know what? It's complicated, but I think that it's about picking one that speaks to you and focusing on using it correctly.
Yeah. I think...
I mean, I used to like 4chan as an Instagram. Is that, that's a visually based
Instagram's visually based. Yeah, okay. That's the one that I prefer. But I think, in my opinion, getting good is the most important thing. But unfortunately, it's so image based because it's entertainment that people like your peers and also people from the outside consume it that way and view your status in your career through that way, like how well you're doing. They measure it by that sometimes. Gotcha. I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, I thought about maybe having a career that was completely divorced from me as an individual. I'm talking like jokes that were just about things and mm-hmm. never me, like never talk about myself whatsoever.
I mean, that's,
but I'm not sure it's super marketable.
But that's the opposite of what's happening now. But yeah. I don't think that that's the wrong impulse.
No, I mean, there are people who do that.
Yeah.
There are people who are not like just don't have very personal material.
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, it's like when you it's like I never go with what you should do, quote unquote. I can definitely say like how people have succeeded. I can give that answer.
You know,
and in that way, social media helps people, but it also consumes a lot of their time.
We haven't seen long term effects of this because social media is fairly new still. Like that, we know that there are definitely successful people who don't use it, but they were already established. Like Janine Garofalo doesn't even have a computer.
Right.
But she was already established in that older frame where social media and the internet didn't even exist. So like that's that. I don't know if somebody can really come up in the world that we're living in now and achieve a high level of success, but we just don't know yet because it hasn't been around that long.
Yeah.
I get the information overload you're saying too, because it's like almost, it's not that it's not interesting to me. It's too interesting. I'm a huge voyeur. I find all sorts of minutiae people's life. It would just be all day for me.
It's insanely addictive.
And that's another thing that we haven't, there are like studies coming out about the effects on your mental health that are disconcerting to say the least.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can
follow us.
You cannot find Gladys on Instagram, but you can find us at Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram, Hot Mess Podcast on Twitter. And if you would like to support us, please do so.
Come on. Please. The apocalypse is coming. We need to
fly that sign.
I'm begging you.
We're flying the sign on the internet.
We need to build a bunker.
Yes. So and also have Gladys as our connection to the surviving world.
Yeah. These are other contacts that are important.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? So go to our Patreon. Patreon is kind of like a Kickstarter, but you contribute on a monthly ongoing basis for monthly rewards.
Fuck yeah.
And it's really popping off on there, if I do say so.
I do pay Patreon.
That's great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's super cool. It's the most direct way that you can help an artist. It truly is. Like, people are talking about, like, why are you, like, begging for money? That is often the bullshit I get from Patreon. But it's like, New York comedians do not make money.
I think a lot of you would probably be shocked if you knew truly how many hours a week we work on this shit. So the amount of money that we're even making for it on Patreon is laughable.
Sure. It is laughable. But I need more.
We're also not really begging you. We're offering you things in return.
Yes.
So you're getting bonus content. We have a bonus show on there. You get a shout out for $5. If you want to just give a dollar, you're not going to get anything. Because come on, what can you get for a dollar?
Fucking nothing.
Except for my appreciation.
You can get those dumplings. Last time I was here, there was like a dumpling place.
Stop it.
They used to have the rats run over.
No, you can't get anything.
You can get nothing. There was rats on the dumplings. That's all.
You can get rat dumplings or you can make our lives better.
They're storing them in the back alley.
You decide, motherfuckers. It's a comedy podcast.